not my past failures.
I am not living in my past.
I am not defined by others.
I am not my list of accomplishments.
I am not a failure.
I am not broken.
I am not worthless.
I am not other people's perceptions of me.
I am not the success or failure of my job.
Not perfect, and that's okay.
I am not desperately needing approval.
I am not my position.
I am not finished.
I am not my work metrics.
I am lost.
I am a father. I am a son. I am a husband. I am a leader. I am a mentor.
I am a single mom. I am not alone.
I am alive with Christ.
I am pursuing God's will for me.
I am designed to create.
I do believe I am beginning to see how He works in and around us.
I am happy.
I am not a waste of God's creation.
I am not my possessions.
I am blessed.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am generous.
I am cherished just as I am.
I am proud of who I've become with God's help.
I am not bad.
I am a strong, happy person.
I am hard at work building into my family and friends.
I am focused forward.
I am a shepherd. I am devoted.
I am an unfinished masterpiece.
Well, man, it's been really cool over these past few weeks to see people come alive, to see people begin to understand their identity. And part of that has come as we've been in community with others, as we've been, building into one another, challenging one another, helping one another, you know, uncover things out of maybe some of the things that are covering up the identities that we have. And man, I tell you what, if you weren't here last weekend, we had baptisms last weekend, and that was just an awesome, awesome experience as we had a number of people step into the baptism tub, you know, students. We had a couple step into the tub together. We had even nearly whole families, kids with their, you know, with their parents jump into the tubs. And so just an awesome, awesome experience as people have been coming into their identity and declaring who God says that they are. So, man, really excited you're here with us today. As Eric said, it's week 6 of the journey. We're wrapping this journey up, which really means we're just beginning. We're just wrapping the series up. And if it's your first time with us here at Crosspoint, my name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't met, it's great to meet you today. And if it's your first time here, we're excited you're here today. And if it's your first time with us on the I Am journey, welcome back. We're glad you're here. And we've been asking the question, who am I? We've been digging into that question and trying to figure out where is our identity. And so many cool things have been happening for people at a number of different levels. And so let me pray for us before we go any further into that. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here today, and man, what a privilege it is to gather in this dark room for a little over an hour, and God, there's so many places we could be today, but we're here with people who are all going in the same direction, meaning that we're here, and we're going after something that only you can provide. And so God, I know I've been blown away, I know many of us have been blown away by just seeing how good you are, and how much you build into us throughout the course of our life, how you speak into us, how you tell us who we are. You actually created us with an identity. And so, God, I just pray that your story, as we dig into that again today, and my story today would be encouraging to you, would be encouraging to people here today, and God, that it would help us to have a fuller understanding of your love for us and your goodness for us. And so, God, I just pray that everything that happens here today goes toward that end, and we pray these things according to you, Jesus, your name and your identity and your character. Amen. Well, you know, I've been following Jesus for now 30 years. I received Jesus when I was 14, and I was baptized at 14. And the last 30 years really have been 30 years of self-discovery. I love self-discovery. In fact, this journey for the past 6 weeks, I have really, have you guys enjoyed the individual guide and the self-discovery that's come as a result of that? Yeah, yeah. Let's give it up for that. It's been really powerful. In fact, for me, one of the things that really spoke to me was week 4, we did a solitude challenge. And I have a chair in my front room that I do my quiet time in. In fact, here's a photo of it right here. This is where I do a lot of my prep for weekends as well. Kids are gone, family's gone, and so it's kind of a quiet space for me. Sometimes I do my quiet time on a run. Sometimes I'll return home and finish it in this chair. And I was doing the solitude challenge in that chair, and as I was sitting there, I started to write a phrase that I am approved of. And something really kind of cool happened. All of a sudden, I felt a warmth come over me. And I looked up, and it was the warmth coming through the windows. The sun was actually coming through and was warming my body. It was just one of these cool moments. And some of you are going, well, yeah, that's called like science. You know, like the sun goes through a window. But it wasn't that. The crazy thing was it was an entirely cloudy day. There's no sunshine thus far in the day. And in that moment, there's just a sliver of a break in a cloud, and the sun popped through and just warmed me as I wrote that down. And I kind of noticed it, took a photo of it, and then I continued kind of processing and journaling. I got to another statement. I wrote down the statement, I am chosen, and it happened again. There was just a warmth that came in. And I don't know, you could call it a coincidence, but for me, it was really a powerful moment as I just felt like this was God reminding me that I am chosen by him, that he finds, you know, pleasure in me, that I'm approved of by him. And you know, what's fascinating about that is for me, I don't necessarily struggle with receiving God's acceptance, though through this journey, I have been digging into some of my performance tendencies, how I feel like, you know, I'm more judged by my failures than the things I bring to the table. And so often, as probably many of us do, in my quiet time with God, I focus more on my failings than I do on some of the things I really bring to the table. And I just think, you know, God was in those moments affirming, hey, my heart is warm by you, Kurt. And that was a kind of a cool experience for me. I hope you've had some of those moments through the journey. You know, this is also the story of Moses that we've been looking at. As we've seen through this journey, Moses goes from not really seeing that he brings something to the table, questioning what God is going to do with his life, and whether or not he has any aptitudes or skills at all, to, you know, God saying to him, Moses, you're going to deliver my people from slavery in Egypt, and Moses totally resisting this. Every time God says this, he's like, no, God, I think you got the wrong guy. I'm not the guy to do that. I think you need to send someone else. And so, you know, Moses goes from here to 10 chapters later in the book of Exodus. He's an entirely different guy. In fact, take a look at what it says in Exodus 14. We visited this last week. He says, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. He says, they're going to be gone. He says, the faces that have been holding you in captivity and slavery and bondage, you're never going to see them again. Because God is going to do an amazing thing of freeing you from that false identity. And I just have to point out again right here, how about Moses right here, right? I mean, this is a dude who is literally being transformed right in front of our eyes as we've been looking at him over the last 5 weeks. And not only does it transform him as a person, but his transformation actually impacts an entire nation of people. And in large part, this happens because not only does he get connected to God, and God begins revealing himself to Moses, but Moses is also connecting with other people. And so big idea today, kind of overarching idea for the morning, is that your power, your potency, the power we have, the potency we have actually comes from God through community. As we surround ourselves with community, and so the people we're linked to, the quality of the people we're linked to, that are building into us and that are helping us see who God is and helping us see who we are, it actually makes us more potent. Because community inspires action. First big idea today, community inspires action. See, you know, many of us have been in small groups, maybe for the first time over the last few weeks, and something really cool has happened in the small group setting. There are people in your group that kept encouraging you. There are people that were saying, hey, keep doing the thing you're doing, or start doing this, or let me tell you a way that I've experienced God. For some of us, it's been, you know, encouragement to keep digging into the doubts that we've had, or unpeeling, you know, kind of peeling back the onion on some of the things that have kept us from leaning into the identity that God has for us. And this is how it is with Moses. See, Moses needs people around him. Every time God says, Moses, here's the plan I have, he says, God, I can't do that. I think you got the wrong guy. I stutter a lot. He said, I think I need somebody else to help me. How about the youth intern? Can you give me the youth intern, Aaron? Can he be on my team? And so God says, sure, I'll give you the youth intern. He's not very seasoned, but, you know, he can be a part of your team. And all of a sudden, you know, apparently Aaron's a much better speaker than Moses, because he steps in and starts articulating where the Israelites are going to go. And so Moses pulls in community around him. And see, we have a number of communities like this around here. We've got to figure out, where am I going to get that? Where am I going to connect? In fact, one of the communities I love, I love being a part of here at Crosspoint is a bunch of men and women, community leaders, business leaders, educational leaders, some of our church leaders that get together about every 6 or 8 weeks for something called Lift Leadership. In fact, the next Lift Leadership event's coming up November 29th, 6:30 a.m. in the Commons. You're out the door by 8 o'clock so you can get on to your job, to your work. And what's so cool about Lift is, you know, people who are catalytic leaders, and really we're all leaders, but people who really lean into their leadership and understand they're wired to create change, oftentimes that group of people are going against the current. They're going in a different direction than the rest of society. They're actually swimming upstream. They're real. There's even a kind of a rebellious tendency within them, kind of a renegade behaviors that actually cause them to be the great leaders that they are. At least that's my experience. Maybe I'm just talking about me. But nonetheless, one of the things that this group of people often misses is they struggle to lean into community because they feel like, I got to go my own way. And so there's something powerful about leaders coming together and building into one another across the disciplines and challenging and learning from one another and seeing what God is doing all over our community that empowers one another. And so, you know, sign up for this thing, man. If you're a leader, join us this next Lift Leadership, November 29th. You can sign up in the app or you can write it on your connection card. You know, there's all kinds of communities like this around here, and you've got to figure out, where am I going to continue to connect? For some of us, your I Am Journey group. Our I Am Journey groups are coming to a close this week. It's week 6. And the cool thing is, it really was a 6-week journey, all right? Some of you thought we were going to do the bait and switch and not tell you it was over, and all of a sudden you found yourself in a group. That's not true. You're going to ask a question this week in your groups: do you want to continue? Do you want to continue to connect with your journey group? And if you don't, no questions asked. But you're going to have to decide whether you're going to continue to connect as a community. And our groups will restart after the first of the year. And we'll provide discussion guides that connect to what we're talking on the weekends about so you can continue to track and grow and challenge one another as a community. But you're going to have to decide. You know, we have all kinds of other groups, affinity groups, things like Crosspoint Women, a bunch of women who get together, and any women are welcome to join this group to build into one another, encourage one another, have fun. I think they're at Sky Zone last month. They're doing an ornament exchange next month. Crosspoint Singles are going to Top Golf later this month. You can sign up for all these in the app. Crosspoint Young People, a brand new group we've got for people in their 18-ish, 19-year-old to, you know, mid-20s that don't want to hang out with me and my 4 kids in a small group. All right, I mean, we got a place for you. Crosspoint Sports, men's basketball is going on right now. We've got Starting Point for people new in their faith. It's starting in January after the first of the year, along with Divorce Care coming after the first of the year. With things like Man Camp. Man Camp. Any Man Camp graduates from last year here? Yeah. Eric was a Man Camp graduate. Yeah, I know. And he was a proud graduate. He knocked it out of the park. Man Camp 2, splitting wood, drinking malted beverages in the woods, figuring out how to use a toilet in the woods. You know, all and it's not just about getting guys in the woods. Why do we do this? It's because we want to get guys around a campfire so they can connect with each other and ultimately they can connect with God. When that happens, there's powerful things that come out of that. You can sign up, guys. You can sign up for Man Camp coming in January. It's under What's Happening. See, whatever your interests are, we've got to figure out where we connect because this is where we grow as we bring this journey to a close. Volunteering, another opportunity. In fact, I was at Costco a week ago yesterday. I just completed a funeral, and I was in a suit. Most of you have never seen me in a suit. And so I'm pumping gas at Costco, and you know those moments where you feel like there's somebody wanting to talk to you, and you kind of look around, and all of a sudden I saw there's a young lady behind me pumping gas, and she said, "Hey, are you a pastor?" And I look up and down myself. I'm like, well, I sure look like one, even though it's a Saturday, don't I? Because usually I'm not at funerals and weddings. That's when I dress in a suit. And she said, well, I come to Crosspoint. I thought you were a pastor. I thought you were Kurt. And so we started this conversation, and she went into how she'd been coming for a few months and immediately got connected in Upstreet, serving our elementary kids as, I believe, a small group leader. And just the connection that happened as a result of that. See, if you've been coming around here, you know, for a number of weeks and you're getting built into here and you're loving what you're experiencing, I mean, you can join the team and be a part of creating it for others. You can take this card that's in your weekly and fill it out. You know, just pick a few places you'd like to try a first serve and pick a date and we'll give you a first serve. You can check some things out. See, all this happens because community inspires action. When we're in community, we engage and it grows us. Second big idea, community refines ability. See, when we have action, community gives us the opportunity for us to understand what we're really able to do, who we are really. You know, Charlton Heston, or Moses, however you refer to him as, I've been using that joke all series, and I think it's only funny to people over 40. I really do. I think you have to be over 40 to really get the humor of that. Moses lives in the midst of community. He's got all kinds of people around him. He's got spies. He's sending spies into the promised land to report back what it looks like. He's got his father-in-law who actually takes him to the woodshed. Jethro takes Moses to the woodshed. Now, it's not the typical take you to the woodshed son-in-law moment. All right, for Moses and Jethro, Jethro sees that Moses is flat worn out. And he says, Moses, I'm going to take you to the woodshed because you're not delegating anything. You're keeping all responsibility and authority to yourself. In fact, here's what his father-in-law, Jethro, who's in community with him, says to him. He says, Moses, what is this that you are doing for the people? What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you certainly will wear yourselves slap out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it. Now, you know you're in community with somebody when they say to you, you can't do it. All right, this thing is way too heavy for you. I know you. Our friends, they usually don't say things like that. Their friends just are like, they're cheerleaders, right? They're like, oh, you can do it. Yes, you can. You know, they're always cheering you on. You got this. You know, having community doesn't mean you're just like blowing sunshine up somebody's skirt or man pants, all right? So they feel good about themselves. It means that we're actually being real. All right, we're not just making somebody feel good, but we're saying, hey, there's a pattern here that I see that I'm not sure is going to be helpful to you. That there's something you're doing that just, you know, I don't know that you're going to be able to sustain that. See, when you're in community with somebody, you're real with them. It goes beyond just a friendship. And Jethro's doing this. See, look what he says right here. He says, for the thing is too heavy for you, Moses. You're not going to be able to do it. And this is actually a key to Moses' power, his potency that he has. Somebody's speaking this into him. For me, one of the communities I have a number of communities I connect with. One of them is our governance team here at Crosspoint. And not only is this a team of people who are really important in my life and I share community with, but they're also somebody who I report to. They're whom I'm accountable to here at Crosspoint. And a few years ago, they actually saw, you know, in me, they said, Kurt, you're worn slap out. You're tired. In fact, they said, we want you to take a sabbatical. We want you to take a 3-month or 13-week sabbatical, 1/4 of the year. We want you to take it off, and we want you to do that every 7 years on repeat, just to refresh yourself. And I, you know, we started a dialogue. I said, man, I don't know that I'm going to do well in that. I know myself. I don't know that I'm going to do well. I know it's biblical, but I don't know that I'll do well for 3 months out of the saddle, not focused. And so we kind of came to a compromise, and they said, okay, how about we move it from 13 weeks to 14 weeks, add a week, and then we spread that out over 7 years, and you get 2 additional weeks off every year in the summer, and you not only take those 2 weeks, but you pair them with 2 of your other vacation weeks. You have 1 solid month off every single year. And I said, done, that'll work, let's do that. And I tell you what, this has been one of the most empowering things for me over the last 3 years. And this came out of them being concerned for me. In fact, I feel like I'm better the 11 months I'm here as a result of being away for that one month. In fact, somebody said to me recently, said, man, Kurt, your game is just elevated over the last year. And I said, well, I think. And now, one, I'm like, well, was I bad before? I mean, what are you saying? Are you trying to tell me something? But then I realized, no, it, you know, when I listen to the counsel of the community, then it actually empowers me. Because community refines us. We need to be in community. Third thing, community brings potency. Brings power. Brings horsepower to our lives. You know, Moses, he got to know more of God because of who was around him. And when he got to encounter God, there was more clarity, there was more potency, there was more power to his life. And I just think all of us want probably more of this in our life, right? I mean, take a look at Deuteronomy, what it says of Moses right here. It says, and there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Look at that again. It says, the Lord knew Moses face to face. I mean, have you ever thought of the fact that God knows your face? I mean, have you ever thought about the fact that he knows exactly what you look like? He knows it very well. In fact, we spent, you know, a couple weeks in Psalm 139, which talks about how God formed us in our mother's womb, and he knit us together, and he knows when we stand and when we sit, and he knows everything about us, everything we do. But how well do we know the face of God? I mean, he knows your face, but how well do you know the personality of his face? the qualities that he brings. How well do you know the passions of God, the heart of God? You know, how long is your history with kind of knowing how God works in the world? It's like I said earlier, all we usually want from God is to just blow a little warm sunshine in our life to make things feel better. You know, God, don't grow me in this moment, this difficult thing. Just make me feel better. Make me feel warm fuzzies. Give me a nice spiritual cocktail so I feel warm fuzzies so I can feel better about what's going on right now. How well do we know the face of God? See, one of our girls, when she was younger, she'd be talking to you or to me, and she likes to talk a lot. And I'd be busy, and she'd just start talking. And all of a sudden, you know, she would call you out if you didn't listen to her. So I might be on my phone, I might be working, I might be paying attention to something else. And all of a sudden, she just demands your attention. And she'd be like, "Dad." And I'd still keep working. She's like, "Dad." And it's like I tune it out. You know, I keep working. She's like, "Dad." And eventually, she would crawl into your lap, and she'd take my head, and she'd be like, "Dad, I need to see your face. I think she's going to be a chiropractor." The rip was just, you know, she's like, "Dad." Now, why does she need to see my face in that moment? I mean, does she not know what I look like? I mean, I see her every morning, and I tuck her into bed every night. Why does she need to see my face? It's because when she looks at me in the face, she sees the personality of her father. She sees my joy when I'm talking to her. She sees my disappointment. She sees my moments where I'm like, "Oh, I'm not sure if that's, you know, good or not." She sees the care, the concern. She needs to see her father's face because she needs to see my personality. See, the same is true with us and God. See, we live in a smartphone culture, right? And I love technology. I love how it continues to advance. I really do. But sometimes I just wonder if our smartphones are making us dumber. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered, I mean, at least relationally, you know, in terms of EQ and how we interact with others? I mean, when we're doing this all the time, I can't see the face of the person on the other side. I can't see how what I'm saying or what I'm doing or what I'm saying to them is causing them to feel or react. You can only see that when you're interacting face to face. In fact, in our home, we periodically do, you know, non-digital days where everybody's digital devices are gone. We'll do vacations, and we'll take them away for the whole vacation, including ours, other than a check-in to see if we need to respond to anything. And you know, because there's something about taking that away that forces us into face-to-face interaction. In fact, Tim Elmore, in his book, Generation IY, he says, you know, kids don't need the previous generation for information. It used to be, you know, as adults, we passed on information to the next generation. We have information at our fingertips. He says, what they need us for is interpretation. They need it, and the same is true with God. See, we can get information, but we need face-to-face time with God for interpretation. When we get face-to-face with him, it brings clarity. It brings, you know, affirmation. It brings confidence. You know, it brings a sense of clarity. And to get that, we have to have people around us that are created in the image of God, because it's in those people we see the face of God. Otherwise, we live isolated, and we don't know what the face of God looks like. Boston Globe had an article earlier this year that said this. It said, in 2015, a huge study out of Brigham Young University using data from 3.5 million people collected over 35 years found that those who fall into the categories of loneliness, isolation, or even simply living on their own see a risk of premature death rise from 26 to 32%. It says you're going to die sooner. If you're not in community with one another, if you're outside of intense relationships, you're going to die 26 to 32% higher probability that you're going to die sooner, because we need to be in community. We need to be in community. Speaking of death, we stared death in the face in our family earlier this year, not to have an awkward transition right here, but I am going to turn the corner right here, because I want to talk a bit, as we close this morning, about my wife, myself, our family, and the power of community during a season in our life over these last number of months. And I regularly talk about, you know, our family in short little snippets or stories or, you know, whatever, but I'm cautious. In fact, I'm even uncomfortable at times, you know, because I never know how much to share, how little to share, how much detail. And here's why sometimes I'm uncomfortable with this, because, you know, you don't come to Cross Point to hear more about the life of Kurt Walters. At least I hope you don't, all right? If you do, you need to, there's many more things you could do that, you know, that would be better use of your time. Hopefully you come to Cross Point to learn more about God, all right? But one of the things that I understand is that we see the face of God as God is alive and active in other people's lives. And so, you know, taking a little story or snippet or something versus kind of blowing something out for the next 10 or 12 minutes is, you know, a bit awkward for me, though we're going to do that anyway. You guys good if we do that? Good if I share a little on our family situation? I don't know why I'm asking you. I've got the microphone and you don't. So, see, and here's why. Because many of you here at Crosspoint, we don't know all of you. I mean, you know us. You see me up front. You may know my wife. But you've been praying for my wife and for our family for the last 6 months. And I just want you to be encouraged by the way we've kind of encountered the face of God over these last 6 months. And so, as many of you may be aware, and if you're not, my wife, back in February, we discovered that she had breast cancer. And she went in for a routine exam, an OBGYN exam, and got a call from her doctor that morning. And they said, hey, the doctor's sick. You can either reschedule or you can see her nurse practitioner. And so she said, hey, I can't reschedule. I'm happy to come in and see the nurse practitioner. And so during the exam, they found some lumps, you know, in her breast, and the nurse practitioner is kind of wiggy about them, like, oh, my word, we need to have these, you know, tested further. And Julie said, hey, you know, my doctor's aware of them. We've been watching them. Totally good. And the nurse practitioner said, you know, I just feel better if you would do a diagnostic mammogram. Since I'm the one doing the exam, I want to make sure we're thorough. And so if you know anything about my wife or know her, she rolled her eyes. She's like, oh, okay, I'll do that, just like my kids. And she said, you know, I'll do it, fine. So she scheduled the mammogram, the diagnostic mammogram. And we weren't really worried. They called us about 4 days later with the results and said, hey, there's some calcifications or at least what looks like calcifications we're worried about. Can you, you know, do a biopsy? Why don't you do a biopsy? We said, okay. We still really weren't worried at that point because breast cancer doesn't run in my wife's family. And so she went ahead and did the biopsy. We got the results from that 3 or 4 days later, and they said, hey, this is cancer. And when you hear the word cancer, you face death. You have a, you know, oh my word, we have 4 kids. How are we going to handle this? We wonder how severe it is. And I tell you what, through the power of prayer, God's touch in the situation, through just the beauty of modern medicine, they did a lumpectomy. She did 5 weeks of radiation. And at the end of that, they pronounced she is completely cancer-free. And then 6 months later, just this past week, she went for her first six-month follow-up, and they said, hey, Julie, cancer is gone. It's not there. And that was just a cool, cool moment for us to get that affirmation. So we've been blown away by the hand of God over these last number of months. So to help you see a bit of what that's looked like, help me welcome my beautiful wife to the platform this morning. Come on up here, Jules. So Julie, as we began this journey, I mean, we never want to hear cancer. You know, take us through your journey as a cancer patient. In fact, you didn't want to refer to yourself as a cancer patient. I mean, you struggled with even that identity.
I did. Well, because you first hear that you have cancer, and then I didn't know what stage it was. And so hearing that it was stage zero, you know, my immediate reaction is, oh, my goodness, I feel so thankful. And then the very next feeling is a feeling of guilt that why did I get the easy cancer and why do others not? And, you know, my family's wanting to buy Save the Tata t-shirts and bumper
kids were wanting to put bumper stickers on the back windows like, Mom, we're behind you. You know, they're ready to go all out.
Like, nope, we're good. We're good on that. But it really took a lot of coaching from my doctors as well as friends of reminding me that, you know, even though you don't have stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, you still have cancer, Julie, and it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, let's talk about how we saw God's hand in this. I mean, you know, we discovered this in February, but really, we saw God's hand looking back a number of months, even a year plus before that.
Yeah, I think that's the piece that is so impactful for me, is that it's beyond just dealing with cancer, that my mom passed away in April 2016 from the end of a neurological disease. And on that day, I, you know, prayed. I was dealing with a lot of emotion that day and a lot of different things that, you know, this day was about her and not about me. And what came to my heart and on my mind was Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to be with you and to give you a hope and a future. And I thought, well, that's really nice. I didn't love that verse because I feel like it was like a little overused. And like Kurt said, maybe I roll my eyes from time to time. And as nice as, I mean, like, it's a great verse. I just feel like it's been overused. And so I was like, well, that's really nice. Little did I know that that would be an anchor verse for me through lots of different events health-wise that I dealt with, because every morning I would wake up with that verse on my heart, and I'd wonder, like, who's this for and what is this all about? So I started sharing it with people when they would have, like, a difficult time. I'd be like, well, gosh, maybe this is for them. And yet, over the course of from that April 2016 until now, I dealt with a concussion. I dealt
for like six months, ongoing.
Yes. And my family, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Had a random hurt my toe, which caused me to have a toe surgery. And then to the week that I found out that I was diagnosed with cancer, is the same week that my dad went through quintuple bypass surgery. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, seriously, like, what's going on here? And yet through this all, a thread continued to remain, mm-hmm. this whole idea that that God is with me, and that verse I clung to. Mm-hmm.
And one of the really cool things for us in this journey was, the cancer oncologist. I mean, when we would meet with them, mm-hmm. their first question was, how did you find this so early? We didn't even know there was a stage zero cancer.
Right.
And so, you know, how did you detect this so early? Because they're thinking, man, if we can get on detection earlier, it can go a whole different direction. And so this is what blew us away. We even saw God's hand in this 18 months earlier. So as we started telling them our story, one of the things that came up eventually was that we had lost quite a bit of weight, both of us, about 12 months previous to that date. In fact, if you didn't know us 18 months ago, that was us right there. That's heavy curtain, Julie. And 50 pounds lighter for each of us is right here. And what's cool about this is we didn't even, you know, a year before cancer hit, we knew we need to lose weight. If you saw, you're probably like, you guys need to lose weight. That's what you were thinking every weekend.
We were saying, we know.
Yeah, and we were trying. We were eating healthy, working out, but we weren't able to lose weight. And we were driving on a small trip, and Julie was flipping through Groupon and came across this natural weight loss, which was, you know, all natural, you know, no medication, and really it was designed to retune your body to burn fat and operate the way God designed it to work. And she wanted to do it. And then I rolled my eyes. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll be the good husband, jump in on it with you. You know, what can it hurt? And so, you know, we began this process, and then it actually began to work. And we actually began to get healthy in a way that we had never been able to do over the last 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward to where we're explaining this to the oncologist, and Dr. Kim, you know, she stopped the meeting. She said, you know, do you guys understand that had you not lost those 50 pounds, Julie, we probably would not, there'd been so much fatty tissue on the breast, we wouldn't have seen the calcifications for probably 3 to 5 years, and it would have advanced well into stage 2, 3, or 4. And it just blew us away in that moment, because we had no idea why we lost weight. I mean, we need to lose weight, but we're like on a whim, and yet we could connect back to God working 12 months previously in ways that actually helped us discover this early. And it just blew us away. So one last thing before we wrap up. I know spiritually we've been going through this journey, the I Am journey. What's God been revealing to you now at this point, you know, through these last 6 weeks?
Well, I think that he uses all things to help us grow. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, while I rolled my eyes at this verse, that, gosh, all of a sudden that verse had power for me as well as comfort. And
did this verse show up on the journey for you?
It did. It did. I couldn't believe it. It was one week where it was like, just pick a random verse, and it was like, and I just literally was like, boom. And I opened my eyes, and
and
there it was. And it actually brought tears to my eyes, because all of a sudden that had power for me. As well as, you know, I may, no matter what my perceptions of something is, whether it's big or whether it's small, that he can work through that. And, mm-hmm. You know, to see Jesus carry us through this, through cards and through just texts from people, through people just saying, I am bringing you a meal, mm-hmm. or whatever. All of those were significant pieces of this journey in feeling valued. Mm-hmm. And that no matter how I felt about having stage 0 or stage 4 or whatever, it didn't matter, because God was with me through that. And so when I think of, like, what does that mean for me, when I think of that I am statement, just reminds me that I am valued and I am loved.
So you felt the love of your kids through cancer.
Yes.
The love of your husband. Had no question your husband was all behind you.
Yes. I felt bad for him. Like, seriously. Like, how much more?
Yeah. You know, there's something powerful that this presses you into one another, but into the face of God as
Absolutely.
Well. You know, I was in a Fight Club chapter when we found out Julie had cancer, and Fight Club's a men's initiative, 10-week men's initiative that we do here at Crosspoint periodically through the year, and you know, it's guys, you know, understanding their role to be protectors and build into their families and, you know, fight for their wives and their kids and their friends, and I mean, just to fight, our role is to fight. And there was a conversation I had with one of the guys in the group. He just asked me one day, he said, Kurt, how are you holding up? And I said, well, good, I guess. I don't know. Nobody teaches you how to be a cancer husband, right? I mean, nobody tells you what you're supposed to do in that moment. But I said something to him. I said, but you know, God has been so good to us in this whole thing. We just keep seeing it. And he stopped and he looked at me and said, how can you say God is good? Your wife has cancer. And I thought about that for a while. And I thought, you know, God's goodness isn't the absence of problems. It's not the absence of tension or pain or even cancer or some kind of sickness. Those things actually lead us, at least for us, more and more to the goodness of God.
Right.
It actually shows you how many mercies God just continues to send. And we were overwhelmed by that every day.
Absolutely.
Through the whole process. And so, you know, one of the songs that really connected with me during that season was a song called 10,000 Reasons. And we've got the lyrics here. It says this. It says, for all your goodness, God, I will keep on singing 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. And you know, and we're going to sing this song in just a moment. In fact, I requested we sing this as we kind of walk off in a moment. But, you know, there's another line that would get me in this every single time. And we'd done this some in the fall last year, some of the earlier in this year. And it just kept coming up on the radio in different places. And the line says, you know, the sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your praise again. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of God, we don't fully understand everything that's coming. But here's the line that get me every single time. But whatever may pass, and whatever comes or lies before me, God, may we be singing when the evening comes. May we have a sense of gratitude regardless of what happens. Because see, here's the thing. We're not playing for 30 or 40 years or 60 or 70 or 80 years. Our vision is for longer than that. Our vision's for an eternity. And see, our hope is in an event that happened when Jesus conquered the grave, that event defines our identity, not something that comes into our life that's a challenge. And so I just remember thinking, God, whatever comes, man, you and I, we're going to be good. Julie and you, we're going to be good. I mean, there's nothing that changes our holistic view of you. For all your goodness, we will keep on singing. That was our prayer. We want our kids to see, you know, that we're going to keep on singing through the midst of this. So our hearts were just full. And so we want to say thank you to you. We want to say thank you for your prayers. It's kind of a closure because many of you have been asking. Let's thank our medical team, Dr. Graybill, Dr. Kim, Community North. Man, they were phenomenal during this process. And we just want to say thank you, God. Let's give it up for God. This is just, in our lives, something that was really cool that we experienced. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I know for Julie and I, man, we are just, our hearts are overflowing. And we certainly are filled with gratitude for all the ways we've seen you. There's still things we don't fully understand, but God, our hearts are full. And God, many of us over these last 6 weeks, we've just been discovering our identity in you. And we've been discovering how good you are. And God, that you have a plan for us. You have a hope and a future, and that it's good. And God, that you've hardwired every single one of us back to our mother's womb. You knit us together. And see, God, one of our main purposes is for our identity to be rooted in you. And many of us have come into discovering that we've placed our identity in you, Jesus, and we realize that there's no thing that can overcome that or change that. In fact, God, there may even be some of us here today who need to lean into that right now, who maybe even in this moment, maybe our hearts are being warmed to you, of seeing that I need my identity rooted in you, Jesus, in your grace and your love and the things you say about me, not in my past, not in my, you know, false things I've been living out of. And then it can happen for you right now by just saying, Jesus, I want to receive you. I want to know you. I want your grace in my life. And so God, thank you for being a God who communicates to us, often in that still small voice, even when we don't understand, God, for moving us, for growing us, for calling us to new things, Jesus. We just want to say thank you to this. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Hey, let's give it up again for Kurt and Julie for sharing the story. Appreciate that so much. We've reached this point in the journey where we want you to have that opportunity to declare who you maybe have, for the very first time, discovered God created you to be. You see, for many of us over the last 6 weeks, God has been speaking to us And maybe we've been hearing something along the lines of, I am, and God's filled in the blank. Or maybe you haven't had a chance to be here over the last few weeks, or maybe today is your very first time. The amazing thing is that maybe during the course of this last hour, God has spoken to you in a new way, in a fresh way, maybe in a way that you've never heard before, and you're beginning to he's beginning to reveal in your life who he says you are. You see, Kurt and Julie are over at one of the canvases right now, and they're writing their I am statement. They're declaring who God has revealed to them that they are, who they are as individuals, and we're going to give you that opportunity to do that in just a moment. So before you leave today, we want to give you that opportunity to declare publicly before God that you have received this new identity. And again, whether you've been here the last 6 weeks or today's your first time, you're going to have an opportunity to declare who Jesus says you are. You know, see, for me, somewhere along the lines, whether it was things that I chose to do or things that I just chose to believe, I've believed lies in many parts of my life, that I can't do that, that I'm not qualified, who do I think I am, or I'm not going to do that because I don't have the ability to do that. I've disqualified myself, and I've realized that those are lies. And so through this journey, God's affirmed to me that I am capable and I am qualified. And maybe for you, it's been, I am forgiven. Maybe for the very first time, you've realized that your identity is not rooted in the choices that you've made or the poor things, the awful, terrible things that have happened to you or in your role. But maybe for you, it's, I'm God's child. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. Maybe you've realized I have worth. I have value. Because that's who God says I am. Whatever that is, you're going to have a moment to be able to go over to these canvases, the ones that say I am on them, the ones that don't say I am on there. Whatever canvas you want to be able to go to, you can declare who God says you are. So let's stand right now. And as we sing, in fact, if you want to get a head start, you can start heading over to these canvases right now at any time during these next two songs and identify that truth that God has revealed for you in your life. And as we do that, again, you can go right now as these songs begin. We're going to sing that song that Kurt referenced, 10,000 Reasons. So let's celebrate together God's goodness in our life and who he says we each are.